560 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Hello, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and thank you so much for tuning in. We're in our second hour of Ladies Can We Talk, so I have my leading ladies, Carrie Kellerman and Dorinda Randall, joining me. And I believe we have on the line Chris Paranto. Are you there, sir? I believe we have him. Hello? Not quite. Okay, we thought we had him, I think.
The old callback.
Okay. Hello, sir? Yeah, he's not on. Okay. Well, while we're waiting to get him, I'll just tell you a little bit about him. There is a movie coming out in January of 2016 called 13 Hours, and there's also a book, 13 Hours, which is riveting. I will tell you that 13 Hours is about the siege on the in Benghazi, the siege on the American compound in Benghazi, and I did a lot of preparation in looking at reading the book and also in reading a lot about Benghazi and the history of it. And this is a very, very, very important story for America, really. It's an important story for America. And, okay, these lights are going on. Do I have Chris? Okay, I'm about to. We're working on this. Anyway, this is an amazing story, and I'm so excited that he was able to call into the show tonight. This book actually is about three of the gentlemen over there involved in this, or three of the main ones are doing a lot of speaking about this. Okay. Hi, Chris, do I have you?
Yeah, you. I could hear you fine. You just couldn't hear me for some reason. I'm here and ready to go.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, hello, sir. In this second hour of our show, I have these, two friends join me. We talk about politics and telling them, you know, I do a lot of reading of these kind of spy novels and thrill. And I read, you know, all of Vince Flynn, those kind of books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I was reading your book and I kept having, I would have to remind myself, this is real. You feel like you're in this Vince Flynn novel or something. It was just that experience was just breathtaking. So I want to just start by saying, thank you for your service. I mean, my gosh.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate it. Thank you for saying that. I just take it for granted a little bit. I guess it's just a job, it was one of those nights where things went horribly wrong, but a lot of things went right. So I appreciate you reading it, though. Thank you so much.
Well, one thing you said, I told our listeners actually in the first hour that the book really tells a story of a 13-hour period, a short period of time, mm-hmm. About when you were in Benghazi and you were in the security annex and the compound's under attack, and there are just... I think it's impossible for Americans to appreciate actually how confusing everything was. One thing that struck me reading it is even at the end when y'all are trying to get out of the annex and get back to the airport, you couldn't tell because they don't have red coats and gray coats. They had all these random militias and it's impossible even to figure out who your friends are.
Well, you just have to... You really, what you do is you have to trust in the guys that you do know, which is the teammates that you have there, the ones that I do know. But then you have to put a little faith out there in the Lord and make sure you know that he's overwatching you. And then you just have to keep your head on literally your head's got to be on a swivel. You have to just be watching constantly and looking around and keeping track of your surroundings because you just never know because you don't know who your buddies are. You don't know who your friends are with the local militias. And since we had no military there, you know, we had to entrust them to assist us because we didn't have the manpower to fight our way to the airport. So it's what you do when you fight overseas in a lot of these clandestine environments. That's just how it is. And you accept it, you know, and we did accept it. It was the aftermath when the story got misconstrued is when we started to get upset. But that night itself, we accepted what happened to us, and And we drove on, and we succeeded in the mission of rescuing, you know, over a couple dozen people.
Yes.
It was the after effect when this turned extremely political, and then we were began to be called liars by politicians. That's when we started to get upset.
Yeah, I was going to say, your life story, I read quite a bit about it. I mean, you've been involved in many many battles, many places in the world. You fought over in, I'm trying to find my notes really quickly, but you obviously were in the diplomatic thing in Benghazi, but you were also involved in the military in an Army Ranger, and you were in various places around the world. So that's what I was going to get at, is all these stories, you encountered danger, but this is a story you guys decided to make into a book and then a movie. So what's the reason this story? I mean, obviously, it was a huge international incident, but what caused you want to do a book about this one?
Sure. And you're correct. I've served in Iraq and Afghanistan, everywhere in the Middle East and then South and Central America. I really wish I could have served in the Bahamas or Jamaica or somewhere like that. It would have been a lot nicer, a lot more pleasant. But the biggest thing was like I said before, it was the story was completely misconstrued. You know, I went to Yemen after Benghazi. I did another tour in Yemen to work. I love the job. I miss the job immensely to this day. But you know, when you're sitting around and you're just watching politicians tear you apart, or some politicians use your story for their agenda, it gets to a point where you've got to step back and say, okay, we need to do the right thing here. What is that? And that would be by telling the truth of what took place on the ground that night. And it took a lot of soul searching to decide to do that. And it took the whole team, all five of us. Ty and Glenn had passed, so we didn't use their voices in the decision. But sitting together and saying, okay, what's the right decision? Let's vote on this. Do we want to do this, or do we want to just let it lie and let the story just become completely twisted and turned? And we decided as a team, we said, we're going to say it and do it together. And the whole team, all the living members of the team took part in it. So that was why. It was specifically just to tell the truth and not let this turn into a political farce, which is what it was going to. And I think it's kind of veered back in the right direction now. Now the truth, again, it's being told, and we've been lucky to have it written as a book, and now we're being very lucky to have it shown on the big screen, which is completely odd for me. That was not a plan. That was nothing. There's never a thought in my mind that that would happen, but it gets the word out to more people, so I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to go back to your story in the book, and it's just, and I just cannot commend the book strongly enough to our listeners. I have it on my iPad. You can get it on electronic, but it's fabulous. But, you know, I don't think most Americans had ever heard of Benghazi until September 11th of 2012. And, you know, it's on the sea, it's on the Mediterranean Sea. It's a, kind of center of Libya, beside Tripoli is the other center of Libya. It's been a center of a lot of controversy. And I guess one thing I want to get into in this story, which is, I know you guys don't want to be political, and I really do respect that. And this is a very conservative talk show, but I know you're going political.
Sure.
But one big thing I just thought was that needs a better answer was when the compound first came under attack, and you could see what was starting to occur. There was a time when you were held back by the. I can't think of the name of the person's title who was telling you, no, you can't go until we say, and they were trying to talk to that 17 February group and trying to get them tell about that. And what in the world do you think was happening?
Well, yeah, when I do speak at the events, I go very much in depth in that. And I relive a lot of that when I'm speaking about me just talking to our chief of base, Bob. And you guys, whoever sees me speak can see it that I'm actually going back and I'm there reliving it. But you know, it was just the fact that we were ready to go, and we had our team was we had all our gear, we had all of our wits about us, the members of my team, the GRS team, and you know, we're getting calls on the radio, on our handheld radios, from the State Department folks who I want people to realize this, we didn't work for the State Department. We had no mandatory function to go over there and assist them. We did it because we told them we would, because they're Americans, and we need our help. And they were really taking a beating. But back to the story that we just we were ready to go 5 minutes, and we were told to wait. And then 15 minutes later, we were actually told to stand down. That's why I don't know why there's still an argument with the stand down order, because we were the words were said to us by our chief of base, the guy that was in charge. He would be a CIA official in charge of our compound. And then we were told to wait again 10 more minutes later. So that's 25 minutes. And then we just decided to disobey orders and we left. And during that whole time frame, you know, you're seeing, we're only 3/4 mile away from the consulate. We're watching them take heavy fire. We're watching, you know, the glowing of the consulate area, because they're starting a lot of the buildings are lighting on fire, starting to catch and really get ablaze. And then you're hearing your friends call you for assistance on the radio, and eventually saying, "Hey, if you guys don't get here, we're all gonna expletive die."
Yeah.
That's when you say, "Okay, it's time. We need to stop listening to our leadership and go." And that's hard for military guys to do, because, you know, that's what we're trained to do, is we listen to what our leaders are telling us. And the majority of time when you're in the special ops units, when you're with Rangers, SEALs, MARSOC, when you're Marine Special Operations, you know, Air Force, PJs, whatever, you do have actually pretty adequate and confident leaders, wartime leaders. And in this case, it kind of backfired, to be honest, because we didn't have the competent wartime leader there, but we still reverted back to our training, which is to listen to our leadership. And it took us a little while to snap out of it. And I said, "You know what? You guys know what you're doing. We got to go." And we left. And that was it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, this, I'll tell our listeners, this book reads so much like a novel. And when I read these books, they keep me awake at night, and I'm cheering on. I'm saying, "No, go, go, go." And then I had to remind myself, it's a real story. They were actually living through this. And on that subject, you know, it is true. I was thinking about that when I was reading it, how you all have military background, and usually a standing, you know, a chain of command is a huge thing in the military. But you are really not exactly military. You're kind of quasi-military-ish. And it made it harder to figure out who's in charge, right?
Well, we're paramilitary. We all work at that time. We all are out, and we are hired directly by the Central Intelligence Agency. So our chain of command is the CIA. That's who we answer to. The problem is some of these areas that we go work in, you know, you're doing a paramilitary operation, or you're doing just security in an area, just protecting CIA case officers, you're protecting assets, or you're doing surveillance, or you're picking up weapon systems, so forth. So you don't necessarily have to have a leader that is well-versed in military tactics, and that was how it was in Benghazi. He was well-versed in CIA, maybe espionage and collecting information, but when it came down to the down and dirty of getting in a firefight, no, he was not. And that's when, I've spoken on this before, and I do that when I speak to leadership groups, right? I speak to corporations about leadership. Say, if you do not have the capabilities to be in charge of a crisis situation, you have to realize what subordinates do, and you have to step back and let them take charge. And he didn't do that. We actually had to take charge ourselves.
Yeah, I think. So, go ahead. Right.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Well, I noticed that you said, you use the expression and the talks you give about bottom-up leadership. That's what you're speaking about, is the idea that if you have competent people, whatever the chain of command was, if there's not someone in charge who knows what to do, you got to let the people do what they know how to do. That's a great one.
It is hard. Pride takes, it needs to take a back seat, and it doesn't as much in the government as we would like to. And I'm sure people see that on a daily basis. Pride gets in the way a lot.
Yeah. We're speaking with Chris Peranto, I saw your name, code name, whatever you call it, was Tonto, but I think I'll just call you Chris. But the other thing that really was very touching, the book is just fabulous, and the movie will be, I'm sure, but you were there was a point near the end when you were leaving, and some of the militia who were on your side, supposed to have been kind of helping you, were actually in tears at the airport, just saying, "We messed up."
Well, you know, it was what had happened is that we had liaisons, guys at the airport that would help expedite us through security when they came through. Because we just flew civilian. We would fly in over on a civilian aircraft, and they would assist us. They really didn't have much play in the firefights and things. They were the ones that just expedited us at the airport itself. The militias 17th February Mars Brigade and Blue Mountain Group, they were terrorist organizations from the get-go. State Department had contracted both of them to assist, and 17th February Mars Brigade sided with Ansar Sharia as soon as we left. So them being the major terrorist organization that took part in the attack that night. So we didn't have any friendly militias. The guys that were in tears were guys that actually just Libyans, local Libyans that helped us, you know, just get through some of the minor things you have to deal with when you're going through airports as an American, you know, coming to a Middle Eastern country with no infrastructure, or, you know, getting goods and services. You always have to have a contact there. And they were, because they did like us, and we were friends. I had a very good relationship with them. Whenever I go to the airport, we'd, just like a buddy, we'd joke around. We'd sit around and we'd joke with each other and we'd drink chai or go have some coffee, and we were friends. So when we were leaving, they didn't want to see us leave. They had no part in the politics of it. They just wanted Western society to come over and influence the Sharia law that now is in effect over there in Libya. And I think they also knew that when we were leaving, could see the writing on the wall and say, well, Americans are leaving. This is going to turn into a very, very evil place to live. And with them being friends with Americans, as any group is in Afghanistan or Iraq, when militias find out, especially militias that support Sharia law, most of the time they're going to be, at the very least, reprimanded pretty forcefully, with either violence or it could even be to the point where you see people's heads getting cut off. And that's the realism over there. That people don't realize that. We're so ingrained here. We don't realize that when you're telling, when the media or people that want us to get out of these countries that we've been into, when we pull out of these countries, it just doesn't, they just don't go back to normal. These people that are supporting us, they're going to be hurt or killed as well as their families. And they don't want us leaving. And that's why we can't ever leave too soon. And Benghazi was that perfect example in that part of the book, is just stating that right there. They're crying, they want us there because we're friends with them. We support them, they support us. But they know in their hearts, as soon as we leave and there's no more American influence, they're dead. And that's the realism of when we pull out of these countries way too early.
Chris, I'm so glad you told that story and made that point. I mean, we are very supportive of the American military and of the place America holds or should hold in the world's view in terms of the country that should stand for what's right and good, and people in countries of all kinds see it. You know, we could probably talk the entire rest of this hour, but I can't do that. But I do want to make sure all of our listeners know that Chris Peranto, to whom we're speaking tonight, he will actually be in Dallas or in the Dallas area on October 29th. He's speaking at the Coppell Republican Women's meeting. In fact, I want to give you some information about it. If people would like to hear him speak, it's Thursday, October 29th at the Las Colinas Country Club. And it is the story, 13 hours, the inside account of what really happened in Benghazi. There are tickets left for this. This is such a good thing to go to. You can get tickets at Coppell, which is Coppell, CoppellRepublicanWomen.com. Go online, buy a ticket, or you can even get the address and send in a check. And you can go on October 29th and hear this firsthand story of not just Chris, but all the heroes in Benghazi. And I urge you to do that. This is just an important story for Americans to know. It is important politically to understand how politicians, perhaps on both sides, took advantage of this story. And it's important for us to know as citizens what really happened over there. So, Chris, I thank you for your service and thank you for calling in tonight.
Oh, thank you. And yep, I really appreciate it. I hope to see a lot of people there. And I give as much time and effort in when I speak. And believe me, I'll be there and answer all the questions I can for anybody that comes. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I'll be there too. So I'll meet you then. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Lays Can We Talk on 660 AM. The Answer. Went way long in this segment, but it was so worth it. Chris, again, thanks for calling. Come on back after the break to Ladies Can We Talk.
660 AM. The Answer.
In a 1940s movie called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, she's married to a creepy guy who's trying to drive her insane so he can put her away and get access to her money. To do that, he misleads, mocks, and berates her to make her question what she sees, hears, and thinks. This gaslight tactic the creepy husband uses is used in today's politics. Mainstream Americans want border security and an end to sanctuary cities, but we're berated by politicians who say that if we think that, we're racist. Many Americans support traditional marriage, but we're told we're haters if we think that. Same on abortion. We either support it or we are part of the war on women. All of that is gaslighting, and it works when we are silenced by those who mock. Gaslighting shuts down free speech and thoughtful conversation. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
If you could choose any school from which to earn your college degree and be on your way to a better life, would you choose a school the Wall Street Journal recognized for producing some of the best qualified graduates, one the Princeton Review ranked as a leader in undergraduate education, and one U.S. News & World Report named number one in the nation for innovation ahead of both MIT and Stanford? Discover why Arizona State University is a clear choice for your future. In addition, ASU Online offers over 100 graduate and undergraduate programs you can take 100% online and on your schedule. You'll receive the exact same curriculum, degree, and prestigious faculty as our on-campus students. For information, call 1-800-600-3122. U.S. News & World Report also ranked ASU in the top 10 best places to earn an online degree. So get started today and learn to thrive with Arizona State University online. Call today at 1-800-600-3122. That's 1-800-600-3122.
Two little tablets is all it takes to get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically proven, loved by celebrities, and recommended by doctors. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is being offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-481-7987. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. It makes thin hair full, full hair beautiful, and promotes the growth of thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, 96% of women would recommend it to a friend. Listen to this.
It's vibrant, shiny, bouncy, everything you want your hair to be. I love Viviscal because it works. It completely works.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls can try it risk-free for 90 days, plus free shipping. Get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Call now, 800-481-7987. 800-481-7987. That's 800-481-7987.
Hey, it's George of the Filling Station DFW. This Monday night, we're kicking off the fifth year of the Filling Station DFW. Now, did you know this month happens to be the beginning of the Jewish New Year and the year of the Lord's favor? You know, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 talks about this. Jesus is all about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, healing, freedom, God's love. Now, look, Jesus has already accomplished all this and more for you. And if you're in some type of trouble or you need his help, he's on it. He's there. He's with you right now. Just call on his name. But if you need a hand in understanding his grace, his mercy, and his love for you, come on down to the Filling Station. It's what we're all about. And we don't have all the answers, but we will do our best to usher you into the presence of the Lord during worship and prayer. And we've moved to a new location. We're at 5555 Celestial Road in Addison, Texas. You can get more information at thefillingstationdfw.com. That's thefillingstationdfw.com. Hope to see you there.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. In our second hour, my leading lady center, Carrie Kelman and Dorinda Randall. We've been talking a lot tonight about the shooting in Oregon and what does a loving American people do to reduce gun violence. And, you know, everyone cares, everyone's hearts break every time we see these incidents. And everyone, whether you are an NRA supporting gun owner or you are, you know, would happily support take all guns away from everybody, everyone cares the same. Everyone feels deeply, deeply troubled by these incidents. The question is, what is the wise policy to reduce the likelihood of these things happening? And so we talked tonight about how the American left always reacts. President Obama, even before the families of those people shot in Oregon had been informed they lost a child, he was out there making a speech, a policy speech about gun control. So the question is, does gun control actually reduce gun crime? So Dorinda has something about from Australia about that.
Well, right? One of the things that Obama was talking about was he was praising Australians' gun ban, and they confiscated all these guns from people that were just average citizens. And so the gun program actually brought in 640,000 gun firearms, and then also it cost the taxpayers $500 million. Yeah.
Jeez.
Lord. Good Lord. Is right. And then the results, though, were completely crazy. The homicide rate has gone up 3.2% overall of the homicide rate that it used to be. And then also robberies, armed robberies, have gone up 44%.
I got to put a comma there. Just 44% increase in armed robbery, but what were they armed with? Because guns were all turned in.
I know, oh, Debbie. But Debbie, you're thinking logically. And the thing is we need to think irrationally and say mm-hmm. that they were using their finger guns.
Oh, pretend guns. Yes, armed robbery with your finger
yes,
gun.
Yes. And so anyway, but that's the reality is you take guns away from law abiding citizens, then the only ones with guns left are going to be the ones that don't pay attention to laws. They're criminals.
Criminals yeah. by definition.
And then so. Carrie had a story out of, that was really a great story out of, a sad story, but a great outcome in some ways.
Correct. Ben Carson was catching a lot of flack for actually coming up with a strategy you could use if you were like a student in Oregon and you're in a classroom before the gunman can take control. He says, why don't you just rush the guy? You know, he may shoot me, but he can't get everybody. If everybody quickly before he takes charge, rushes the gunman, you might put a stop to this. So there were some students just a couple of days ago, this last Friday at North Arizona University in Flagstaff, Arizona. An 18-year-old freshman is in the parking lot of a dormitory, and he just opens fire. And he only got out about five or six shots before the kids that he was firing on rushed him and took him down and waited for law enforcement to come. Unfortunately, one student lost their lives, but it could have been so much worse. So it appears, maybe they didn't hear what Ben Carson said, but it appears that at least this strategy halted what could have been a mass shooting.
Yeah, I'm actually glad. I'm sorry to hear that story, of course, but I love the idea, whether people heard from Ben Carson what he said or not, it is logical. It's like what those people did on the Flight 93 right. that didn't make it to Washington.
Let's roll.
You may have to lose your life, but in that situation, you might lose your life anyway. Well, let's at least take down the bad guys.
And wasn't it rumored that that plane was headed for the U.S. Capitol?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, or the White House.
The White House. And instead it went down into an empty field. So it was a good strategy.
I liked that Ben Carson said that. Man, you know, we're going to go off to our break and try to get time it back on track. But we come back, we're going to talk a little more about Ben Carson, John Kasich, Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, all the presidential candidates, lots of political news about things they've said and how those things, whether they actually stand up against common sense. Maybe that's kind of a silly standard, but I think they should be common sense. So this is Debbie Georgiadis and Carrie Kalman, Dorinda Randall on Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come on back after the break. We're going to turn to talking presidential politics and how California passed a new law to drive out businesses. I'm not kidding. Come back after the break.
If you've got questions, we've got answers. 660 AM, The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration, yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card could make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, 500 business cards for just $9.99. What's more, you can choose between hundreds of designs or upload your own and customize them easily. And because they're from Vistaprint.com, the cards are of top quality and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So visit Vistaprint.com today and get 500 shots at turning your dream into reality. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To get your 500 business cards for just $9.99, go to Vistaprint.com, click on the link in the upper right corner, and use promo code 2323. That's Vistaprint.com. Click on the link in the upper right corner and use promo code 2323.
What would you do if you could speak Spanish? Have a barbecue with the Spanish-speaking family next door?
Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Sí?
Swap stories with locals on a Costa Rican rainforest safari?
Ah, mira, es maravilloso.
Order your favorite Tex-Mex in Spanish?
Quisiera un burrito de carne, por favor.
Once-in-a-lifetime adventures to everyday moments. If you've always wanted to learn Spanish, to have real conversations with native speakers, now you can. Because Rosetta Stone is letting everyone who calls try an absolutely free demo of its powerful language learning program. Call now, 1-800-500-3022. Fully immersing you in the Spanish language, Rosetta Stone is fast, fun, and easy. Learn on your computer or iPad. Practice on the go with your smartphone at your own pace and at your own convenience. If you've always wanted to speak Spanish, this is your chance with the fastest, easiest way to learn a language guaranteed. But don't wait. Call Rosetta Stone now for your free demo. 1-800-500-3022. That's 1-800-500-3022.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there's a powerful secret that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $5,000 in credit card debt, you have the option to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're debt relief advocates, and we're offering you free information on how to virtually eliminate your credit card debt and make your monthly payment affordable. To see how much you could save, call now, 1-800-721-8733. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. Debt relief advocates. Live better debt-free. Find out how easy it is by calling now. For the secret that credit card companies don't want you to know, call debt relief advocates now and see how much money you could save for free. Call 1-800-721-8733. That's 1-800-721-8733.
660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Jorinda Randall, Carrie Kellerman. And we were talking just before the break about the GOP presidential candidates. And obviously, we're only in October and the race is in high gear. But there were some comments that John Kasich made this past week. I thought he's actually made several over the years, but most recent last few weeks just simply must be analyzed from a place of rationality. How about that?
Or a therapist couch.
Absolutely. John Kasich was basically telling people that if they disagreed with his expansion of Medicaid in the state of Ohio, then there's a book they should read. It has an old part and a new part. In fact, I'd be willing to buy you all a Bible so that you could see what the Bible says about treating the poor and what true charity is all about. I'm getting a little bit frustrated at people that will twist the words of the Bible, especially passages like Acts 2 verses 44 through 46 and 47, to saying that it describes socialism. These were a group of believers right as the church was getting its start, and they grouped together. Their lives were threatened. So they were banding together. They were meeting together regularly, and they voluntarily decided to sell their belongings to care for each other's needs. And this is a passage that a lot of liberals like to go, see, socialism works. It's redistributing everything for people's, for the common good.
But the big key, what you said was it was voluntary.
It was voluntary.
Mm-hmm. It's and like deciding to live in a commune in the middle of Texas. Correct. You could do it, but your choice. Government's not making you.
Correct. But wait, that's not even the most important part of it. The most important part of it is they shared a common belief. Mm-hmm. I am a Christian and I feel attacked in my own country. If my government even kind of started to respect my views as a Christian, then don't throw my holy book in my face and tell me I'm not, they're going to justify their socialism with my holy book.
Well, in the Bible though, can you get to the verse, quote the verse of where it said that they sold their belongings and then they gave it to the government and then the government came up with a plan to take care of everybody?
Yeah, I know.
Where is that passage?
Yeah, it's not in there.
Oh.
Yeah, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. But this was also voluntary. The way you treat, the interpersonal relationships are different than the way government is to treat its citizens, and different from way nations need to treat one another. Completely
amen to
different.
That.
Do we know where Kasich's charitable giving goes?
That would be interesting. If he wants to be charitable, then I say, then give away, John. Give your own money.
Yeah. You know, I think this is actually a really important point because I do think a lot of people who aren't, they're earnest in their faith, but they haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this. On the surface, his argument might seem appealing, is that, this is all that government largesse is really loving your neighbor as yourself. It's giving. And so I think we should, it's a hugely important thing to distinguish between, because as Dorinda and Carrie are pointing out, mm-hmm. nothing in the Bible is saying, give all your money, not only give all your money to government, but vote to have government take other people's money away and give it to whoever they want to give it to. Well, personal charity. Oh, go ahead.
I also think we ought to give responsibly, because if I give a dollar to the U.S. government, I could give a dollar to the U.S. government for the poor, or I could give a dollar straight to a Christian charity for the poor. My dollar that I give to the government, only 22 cents of that is going to get to the poor. It's only 22 cents out of that dollar is going to get to the people to whom it's targeted. And a Christian, there are charities aplenty that will give me a better return on my giving than that.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I also wanted to say, I just think it's so important. The Christian teaching of love your neighbor, care for your neighbor, love your enemies is all about telling each individual how to live your life in a loving, generous, godly way. Mm-hmm. And you are deprived of that if you don't. If your charity is simply what John Kasich is advocating, your charity consists of paying taxes and voting for people who will take lots of money away from other people, there's no personal charity in that.
No.
There's nothing noble about voting for big government, big spending programs, big taxes for rich people. Nobility, and what the Bible is trying to teach, is individual character of actual love, of the giving, mm-hmm. outpouring of love, of charity. And there's also a whole societal connection piece of this too. If you give to a charity in your neighborhood and you know them and they know you, you see their need, you're happy to meet it, they know you, they appreciate your generosity. All that's lost with big government programs.
Well, the one thing that, that always seems to escape people, but the one thing that I'm getting tired of is I'm getting tired of being lectured to.
Yep.
I mean, just like Tammy was saying, I'm tired of being lectured to. I'm tired of you degrading me or belittling me in any way all the time on every issue. And then our own party is sitting there telling me that I need to be reading my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to give me one.
I tell you something else, this John Kasich guy. Now, you know what I will say? We're not really endorsing a candidate in the show, but I will eat my notebook here in front of me if John Kasich wins the nomination, because not only is he saying these kind of things, he said other statements where he's essentially mm-hmm. justifying his big government choices, which are unpopular with Republicans, mm-hmm. by saying, well, I'm at the St. Peter, I'll be up at the pearly gates one day, and St. Peter's going to ask me, he's not going to ask me, did you manage to create limited government? He's going to ask me, did you give to the poor? There's nothing giving about voting for big government. There's just, and the other thing is, you deprive the recipients. When you are a recipient of big government programs, you inherently and inevitably develop a sense of entitlement. I'm owed this. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of where it comes from, that other people worked and sacrificed to pay those taxes.
Yeah. The one thing that I don't understand, I think is really sad, is that you rob somebody of what their potential can be. And I think that's more damaging than anything else. And when the government sits, and does a mandates to where they're going to take care of you on every issue and you become entitled, but you also rob yourself of who you could be to maybe you better yourself to provide better for everybody else and you be a cheerful giver to something.
Well, that's just it, the cheerful giver. And what about it's more blessed to give than to receive? Mm-hmm. Paying taxes is in no way in form an act of giving.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's coerced.
I'm trying to envision someone being cheerful as they're writing their tax check. I just don't see
it.
I just don't see it. So what you end up having when you let government confiscate the Christian goal of charity, the Christian mandate to be charitable, when you give that over to government, what happens is the society as at large becomes less charitable because you always think, well, somebody else has that.
Right.
Well, you
somebody
see a person in need and you're like, isn't there a government program for that? And you feel let off the hook because, well, I paid my taxes and somebody else must have that. And we become, as people and as a society, less charitable.
Yeah. You know, this private charity thing, and also the recipients of private charity, when they are being invited by the church that sets up this program or the private charity, those charities are nurturing these people along. They're saying, come on, we'll help you get back on your feet. You got to get rolling along in life. Let's find something you can do. Let's find a new home for you. Let's find a new way forward for you. There's a nurturing that happens when private charity does it that really brings them back into the American dream. So because we committed to go to the break on time in this particular segment, so we'll have a segment left to talk about lots of other things, including the presidential race, including the new California law. I think we will zip off to a break and we'll come back after for our last segment in the fastest 2 hours of my week every week. This is Dorinda Randall, Carrie Kelman, Debbie Georgiatis, and Lays Kimmy Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Come on back after our break.
660 AM The Answer. 660amtheanswer.com. Dennis Prager explains what's wrong with liberal thinking.
So Raul Castro, the dictator, got up and he said, we have to pay reparations to Cuba. This is the scenario is painted by the world's left. The problems of Cuba emanate from the American boycott, not from the totalitarian communist regime.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
At the Restoring Unity Rally in August of 2015, 20,000 people gathered to celebrate the bond among Americans. A choir sang All Lives Matter, but mainstream media didn't cover the event. They didn't even share the pictures of Americans of every skin tone joining arms and voices proclaiming our unity as Americans. By contrast, there's regular media coverage of rallies of 30 or fewer people around the theme Black Lives Matter. These events get very different coverage because of liberal media bias. Left-wing media coverage is intended to convey that America is a deeply troubled nation made up of competing victim groups, which makes the mission of growing government control of society seem vital. Americans are tired of media bias and of the left-wing attempt to pull America apart. If you're tired of it too, keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer. We talk truth about the goodness of America.
Dallas Baptist University Women's Night Out featuring Shonda Pierce, Thursday, October 15th, 2015, with Lindsay McCall and Karen Williams.
You ever tried to put on a pair of Spanx in an airplane bathroom? My body twisted in ways I didn't know it could.
Focus on the funny. Get your women's group together for a fun night out. Women's Night Out at Northwood Church in Keller, Texas.
So, you know, I didn't want to give in to the peer pressure, but they already had their bags of mascara out and their lipstick, and I'm like, what I got? Blistex.
Tickets on sale at itickets.com. Call 1-800-965-9324. For group tickets, go to getgrouptickets.com or call 844-381-4751. Buy 10 or more reserved seats at one time and save $5 per ticket. Buy 30 or more reserved seats at one time and save $5 per ticket and get two free tickets from Salem Media Group, Inc. and Awakening Events.
Hey, it's George at the Filling Station DFW. This Monday night, we're kicking off the fifth year of the Filling Station DFW. Now, did you know this month happens to be the beginning of the Jewish New Year and the year of the Lord's favor? You know, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 talks about this. Jesus is all about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, healing, freedom, God's love. Now look, Jesus has already accomplished all this and more for you. And if you're in some type of trouble or you need his help, he's on it. He's there. He's with you right now. Just call on his name. But if you need a hand in understanding his grace, his mercy, and his love for you, come on down to the filling station. It's what we're all about. And we don't have all the answers, but we will do our best to usher you into the presence of the Lord during worship and prayer. Now, we've moved to a new location. We're at 5555 Celestial Road in Addison, Texas. You can get more information at thefillingstationdfw.com. That's thefillingstationdfw.com. Hope to see you there.
Have you ever considered joining the military but stopped because you couldn't deploy to a foreign country? Believe it or not, the state of Texas has its own military force that stands alongside the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and serves only inside the state of Texas. It's called the Texas State Guard. I'm Tech Sergeant John Wells of the 4th Air Wing, and we're looking for you to join us. Give us a call at 877-398-8350. That's 877-398-8350. If you love Texas as much as we do, join the 4th Air Wing of the Texas State Guard.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk at 660 AM, The Answer. I'm here with Carrie Kelman and Drinda Randall. This is our final segment. I want to first, before we launch off into the presidential stuff again, I want to thank the sponsor for Ladies Can We Talk. Funding for Ladies Can We Talk is provided by a company called GC Works. And GC Works is Dallas-based. It performs research in advanced technology and delivers innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. I am so grateful for GC Works, grateful for their support of this show and sponsoring this show. And just want to say thank you every single week. Okay, well, we only have a few minutes left here. We have, I think, 13 subjects we want to cover, and we're already talking as fast as we can. So I guess I'll quick start with our I've teased it several times. I'll just mention it. We're going to talk about this in a future show. I'm just going to tease this idea. Liberals and Democrats think the way to get women voters is to give them special things, special rules for girls kinds of things, special you are helpless women kinds of promises. Well, California went way overboard, and I'll just tell you quickly, it has been the law in the United States of America since 1963 that men and women had to be paid the same for the same job, called the Equal Pay Act, and you can sue your employer under it if they don't follow it. Been the law. I'm a former labor employment litigation attorney. I know this law. Okay, so, but you have to show it was an equal job, or equal pay for equal job. Well, California now has a new law that says employers have to pay equal pay for men and women for substantially similar jobs. And I'm just going to plant this seed, and we'll come back to it another week. You're going to have juries or judges deciding in your business whether, you know, Susie, who had this job, really has a substantial or substantially similar job to Joe over here who has somebody else. This is the plaintiff's attorney full employment law. This is the cause every employer to not want to hire women law. And as is already being reported, businesses are leaving California over this law. This is an impossible standard, but this is what you get when you support busybody Democrat liberal policies sticking their nose into businesses where they have no place to be. Do you guys want to talk about that?
I'm seeing a lot of California plates here in Texas.
Well, that's probably why. You know?
Yeah. Bring their politics with them, I'm okay with that.
I know. I just think it's sad that liberals don't see the irony in the fact that Democrats actually believe that they want government to protect our little sweet selves because we can't take it. It's so
condescending.
Yeah, it's condescending, and I can't sit there and look at a job that I'm working and say, okay, you know what? I could be working more somewhere else, and so I'll leave, or I'll talk to my employer and say, hey, I'd like to get a raise. I can't do that on my own. I need the government to help me.
Well, you don't. Jorinda Randall doesn't need the government to help much of anything, but this exactly what this law is saying is women are stupid and helpless.
Yeah.
Women, you should be offended. This is what Democrats think you like. Okay, and I'll just tell you the quick, because we saw a little bit of time. We were talking about this story, and I want to just mention, we like to have one little feel-good about America story. So one was called, there's a story about these high school students, and I don't know what the state they were in, but it was Jackson Hole. So Jackson Hole,
Wyoming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The principal of this public school canceled American Pride Day because he thought it might be offensive to minorities. Seriously, this is America. In case Wyoming is in America. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. Yeah,
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I have a casserole dish the shape of Wyoming. It should be in America.
Wow. It should be. Wow. Okay.
Me too.
Everyone does.
Anyway, so this principal didn't want to offend the minority population of the school. And so of all unbelievably great things, the students protested. The young people whose tender feelings this principal was trying to protect said, no, actually, we're into this American Pride thing. And they showed up wearing American flag capes, American flag headbands,
awesome.
American flag shorts, all manner of beautifully and garishly patriotic American flag ornamentation.
Excellent.
God bless him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
God bless
him. I love that. Okay. So back to the presidential thing. We have a few minutes here. We had this funny conversation earlier. I wouldn't say heated is a bad word. We got a little wound up talking about the presidential race. Fine. Okay.
It got heated. Come on.
Okay. Maybe a tiny bit heated, but in a good way. You know, it's actually, I always say in the show, and we always say in the show, it's good to talk about politics. It's good to talk about people who, you know, with people you don't agree with and to hear each other's ideas. So mm-hmm. I guess what we were kind of talking about was, can anyone cash Donald Trump, or is the GOP primary over? So what do you guys say?
Well, if Hillary has the following that she does, and it's considered over, and she's not really going to have much of a debate going on, why can't we say it's over for Donald Trump? But no, I still want to see Cruz come out, and I know he will. And at some point, he's going to get more in there, and.
I'm waiting for his immigration policy. Ted Cruz's immigration mm-hmm. policy. I want to see where he is on that. I think it's time for a lot of these candidates to start putting out policy
papers so we can compare
apples to apples. I appreciate Trump getting those things out early. I think he kind of did as a response to criticism, like, oh, you're not serious.
Right.
You're not being specific, making America great is too vague. And so he said, here's my immigration policy. Here's my tax policy. And who's following suit on that?
Yeah, nobody. And that's what that is a great point, because you do wonder where are their policies. And I like what you were talking about in the car on the way over here is who is giving him advice. That's when
made my eyebrows go up.
Yeah.
Immigration for me is my number one issue. Having a secure border, having been near the border last summer and having a gunfight, a drug-related gunfight break out 14 miles from where my church friends and I were.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I wasn't selling drugs. No, we were painting a church.
She stopped
and building
doing that.
A house.
Okay. Yeah, she stopped that.
And I get home and I get back to the hotel and I realize there's been a huge gunfight.
Wow.
14 miles from where we were. And I'm thinking, we've got to do better than this. Immigration
right.
is really an important issue. And when I saw that Trump consulted with Senator Jeff Sessions, I thought,
well, the hero on immigration in the Senate. Yeah.
At least he's consulting with somebody who is the best and brightest on that issue. And I think he did the same thing with his tax policy. I understand that Steve Forbes and Art Laffer were consulted on his tax policy. So I do like who he's talking to.
I will give him that. Yeah, well,
to some good people.
Yeah,
he talks to
those people. Yep. I will say this about that. I agree on people bringing out specific policies. I think it was especially incumbent on Trump, as it is on Carson, really Fiorina, who have no legislative experience or gubernatorial experience that people can look to and say, wow, there's what they did. I see how they must think. Mm-hmm. I will say for Ted Cruz, who's the one you mentioned a moment ago, you have to look at his record in the Senate. He hasn't been there for years and years,
yep.
but the the short time he's been there, you have no question, in my view, where he stands on many issues. Now, he may have to give specific, you know, immigration policy on for X and not Y, but I don't know of any candidate who has taken the heat, stood up as he has course of his brief time in the Senate. And so I feel like you do have some window on how he thinks. Maybe it's not the complete window.
Because it's gotten so muddy. I mean, when you look at Rubio running for president, there's just a lot of people who cannot forgive him for the Gang of Eight thing.
Right.
Yeah.
They just can't.
And the thing that I like about Ted Cruz, though, he has been consistently for the Constitution since he was 13 and reciting it in front of people. I mean, that's the one thing that I get nervous about with Trump is that he just now became conservative not too long ago. And to have Hillary Clinton at your wedding, and no matter if you paid her or whatever it was, you can't tell me there's not this twinge of something back there. And I don't want to chance it to the fact that he's going to be president and then I find out who he is and who he's not. I want somebody that has shown who they are time and time again.
Well, I think that there's four candidates that have this outsider mantle going.
She did air quotes.
Okay, yeah, the outsider. And I think that they really do owe us some very specific policies, because the people that are have held Carly office has. Before have a record, and you can go back and look at it.
Yep.
And so... Yeah.
Yep. Okay. You know what? We are zipping up toward the end of the show. I want to thank you for tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you, Carrie Kelman, Drinda Randall. And also, I want to thank Tammy Nance of Smart Girl Politics, editor-in-chief. She was a fabulous advocate for Second Amendment for Women. And Chris Tonto Peranto of 13 Hours in Benghazi fame. Read the book, see the movie, come see him October 29th. Thank you to my technical director, Dan Bradford. My biggest thank you is to you, the listeners, to Ladies Can We Talk. Come back every week to Ladies Can We Talk in 668. The Answer.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
The Mark Davis Show.
The Mark Davis Show.
You know, Columbus gets a hard ride these days. He was not a 21st century enlightened, sensitive guy. But he opened up this part of the world so that others could create the USA. So I will honor him by taking Monday off. Dallas County Republican Chair Wade Emmert fills in with his views on all the issues in the GOP and all over town across the country. Thank Wade for me, and I will see you on Tuesday.
The Mark Davis Show. Weekday mornings at 7, right before Mike Gallagher at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
And now, a touching moment while staying in touch with Geico.
I remember it like it was yesterday. As I downloaded the Geico app, a bluebird landed on my finger.